This probably is what ended the Cold War.
Well, they figured if somebody like Kelly and somebody like Screech could get together, then why not democracy and communism?
Yeah.
When I'm torrenting old recordings, internet, it sends a warning, and I don't think it'll download in time. By the time I've watched the show, it's half, it's time to go. Chuckle one more swig to make the show sit right.
Good evening and welcome to Saved by the Bell Reviewed, the podcast in which we all discuss every episode of Saved by the Bell in what we would like to call the order of the series. It's very dubious. If you'd like to email the show, you can email us at sbtbreviewed@gmail.com. If we ever get any emails, we'll read them on the show. We're eagerly anticipating them. On today's show, we'll be reviewing Season 1, Episode 10, The Beauty and the Screech, making this the 10th episode of our show. That's kind of a milestone, right?
Cheers.
Big 1-0.
I didn't think I'd be willing to do this 10 times. Hosting this week is myself, Ryan Alexander Tanner, and to my right is...
Austin Gordon. To my right...
is David Bitzenhofer.
And I'm Carolyn Main. Hello.
Carol goes last because she is a woman.
No. These are the lessons we're learning from Saved by the Bell.
The more we watch Saved by the Bell, the more we learn about inequality, being proactive in inequality. The importance of inequality.
It's the glue that binds our society together.
Well, it's a value. It was a value we were all raised with. By watching this program.
I'm not gonna enjoy this inequality, you guys. That's major uncool.
Oh, wow. You're really taking a stand. You're really going out on a ledge.
Well,
but, you know, each their own.
It's 3-1, so I say we take a vote.
You're tough but fair.
That's the patriarchy for you. Sheesh.
I know. Okay, so in this episode, I will summarize it briefly. Kelly's doing very poorly at science, and she will not be able to go to the George Michael concert if she fails her upcoming science test. So Zach, wanting to go with her, convinces Screech to tutor her. Unbeknownst to Zach, Kelly begins to develop romantic feelings for Screech, and chaos ensues. That's which episode this is.
Worldwide chaos ensues.
It's true. The whole planet is affected, which we will talk more about.
It goes all the way to space. We'll get there.
I think I was affected, too.
Even the whole world and you?
Yes. But, even in the future, it still affects me.
I know. I think we can all say our lives were changed.
Is this the future?
Now it is.
Well, this is the future of Saved by the Bell.
It is.
I think that counts.
All these people would be in their 40s now.
Fascinating.
I'm gonna backpedal a little bit. I'm gonna start from where it all begins, in the hallway, where Kelly's on the payphone, and she's all jazzed because she won 2 tickets to the George Michael concert, which is a little loaded. But we'll definitely have a lot to say about that at the end of this episode. Because there's some pretty amazing poetic conclusion to this episode.
I will say I'm a bit amazed by some of these character traits that are persisting through each episode. Because this is like the 3rd episode that Kelly talks of her love of George Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I've always been curious about is sometimes they talk about having... Like, sometimes they're interested in an actual musician, like George Michael, and then other times they make up a musician. Like, in the upcoming episode with Subliminal Messaging, they're all, like, gaga over some hot new song that's made up. It's by some made-up artist. So I'm always wondering, at what point do they say, this is, now we're going to use a real musician, and this time we're going to make it up?
So I think if they actually have to play the song, then they don't.
I suppose, yeah, because then it's music rights, and no one wants to pay for that.
I think licensing is the deciding factor there, paying for music rights, absolutely. Okay, so Kelly has these tickets, and of course Zach and Slater, who are are both hardcore vying for her still at this point. They both want to go real bad. And I think we should take a minute to discuss their outfits.
Well, Zach's hair is about 6 feet tall again.
Sure, but Zach has a pink shirt. Slater has these kind of acid wash jeans, both tucked in shirts. Carol, you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, they just both look fantastic throughout. I'm really liking how Zach has the striped tee, and usually it's neon. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what he's wearing here, but
no,
I mean,
pink.
Clearly,
it's like
if
it's like
we went to the George Michael concert, George Michael would like to meet either Zach or Slater in the men's room, and there will be men's room meetings afoot. Like, we know that's happening.
Well, he would see Zach's shirt, his pink shirt, shining like a beacon of queer energy.
It would overload his gaydar, huh? Is that what you're saying?
It would. It overloaded my gaydar.
As far as Saved by the Bell goes, I would say for the most part, pink means like pink rimmed fantasy,
right.
AKA a J-O, right?
Okay.
For the most part, I think the fantasies are J-O's.
I'm with it.
I noted that, I don't know what this says about me, but I noted that Slater had a t-shirt on underneath his tucked in button up this time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas last week when Zach did his whole timeout, unbutton his shirt, he was freeballing it underneath that button down, but this time he has a tasteful undershirt on.
Wait, isn't freeballing
yeah,
when you don't have underwear on?
Well, like, I don't know, free nipping.
Free nipping,
there
okay.
Go.
That's better.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I was too busy staring at Kelly the entire time.
Oh, yeah, you didn't see anything.
Just so we know for sure that you're straight.
I know. I was looking at Slater's dick in his jeans the whole time. I don't care. I was playing a George Michael song, staring
I'm
at,
never gonna dance again.
Staring
guilty.
At Slater's free balls. I'm not ashamed. So Kelly's answer when they both want to go is that she needs time to decide, which we now
which
know
is,
this is week 10 of this.
Yeah, I was going to say that. This is her standard, I'm not going to really choose because I just want you two to fight over me.
Well, it's weird. It's like this is all that ever happens. It's like when I mean, I know that there will become a conclusive moment where she does decide, but it really seems like this shit's gone on too far, you know?
Yeah, it's not quite I choose me, but it's very clearly I choose getting to play this game because it's a lot of fun watching you two fight over me.
Yeah. Well,
and who wouldn't want to make those young bucks tussle? Look at the antlers on those guys. The musk in the men's room is off the chart.
Fair enough. I think she should take Mr. Belding, personally.
Why? Because he's the strongest?
He's the alpha male.
He's the alpha shitter, I think, is what we're
trying
to say.
Yeah, going back a few weeks. Okay, so let's move on. So then we cut to science class, which we were all really hoping for. I know you had your fingers crossed, like, this hallway seems cool, but I really want to see some science class. So Screech is awarded a science honor by, this teacher guy was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I kind of got a kick out of him. He was decent.
He would have been a good Super Mario.
He would have.
Well, they put the molecule hat, or what's the Mertz's molecule hat? Mertz would be the, Dr. Mertz is the teacher of the class. On Screech's head, and, like, the audience loses their shit over this. Like, it's the greatest fucking thing they've ever seen.
Well, I have a question. Was that supposed to be the audience's reaction or the kids in the class's reaction?
Oh, God, let's hope it's the audience, because it makes even less sense if it's the kids' reaction.
I couldn't really tell, because it's a close-up of Screech and the teacher, and I was kind of wondering that.
We can all disagree that no one should be losing their shit over this.
No one should even be kind of excited. No one should even be paying attention.
Yes, it's just like, it's like supposed to look like a molecule, and then he puts it on his head making some dumb sound effects, and
yeah.
I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world I've ever seen, it's just done very neutral to it all.
You know what, I'll be honest with you, while that was happening, I was just staring at Slater's bulge in his pants.
I don't think he was in the scene, so
I didn't
think you're just fantasizing.
I just had a screen cap, and I was looking at it, and I was just looking, I don't know, I didn't even know that there was a molecule hat.
Yeah, so it's like all these dots connected by some lines, and it looks like molecules, and I think that pretty much is Screech's crown of science.
Yeah.
But really, it only crowns him as a king dork.
Yeah, it's like a crown of thorns, almost.
Yes, very much like
it's
that.
It's a crown of abstinence.
Yeah, Mertz makes the comment like, oh, it's a great way to pick up chicks. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's a good way to commit social suicide, but whatever.
I know, and he all makes it put it on in front of everyone just to, like, make sure that he never gets laid in his whole life.
Yeah, it's less an honor and more a burden.
It is.
To be fair, it's not like Screech needs extra effort not to get laid for his entire life.
Hey, be nice to Screech.
No, Screech deserves no niceties after this episode, but we'll get to that.
Man, Screech really, yeah, it's really, the outcome of this is astounding. I guess I'm going to meet Screech on Friday.
Like, literally?
Yeah, I should mention this. We all at the show, because this is such a well-loved show, we got invited to go see the Bayside the Musical in New York City, where I happen to be right now as we record this. So I got some comps for this Friday, and apparently Screech is going to be there.
Dustin Diamond or a character playing Screech?
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll.
Wow.
I'll come
so are
back.
You gonna ask Dustin Diamond about his cock and whether it might be a stunt dick or not?
I'd be like, hey, I'm a big fan. Was that your real dick? whose dick was
I
that?
I dare you. I double dick dare you.
Ooh man.
Double dick dare.
Well, I mean, as of the time this episode is released, it will have happened in the past. But next episode, I'll have a follow up. I'll let you know how it goes. Also, that musical
so
looks
this,
like it could
this
be.
This is the future, then.
This is it's the past.
Oh, okay.
This is the past.
We're watching is now.
Yeah.
What will then be now?
What will then be now is the past. But what will be the future will be the past. Anyway, I'll let you know what it's like if I get to meet Screech.
You should try to get him on the show.
I'll see what I can do. Will you review? I'll ask him if he'll review an episode of Saved by the Bell with us. I mean, it's not like he's got anything better to do.
I'll be nicer to him if he's there.
Yeah, I kind of, in a previous episode, already called him a giant douche canoe, so don't mention that when you ask him.
I'm sure
you should
listened.
Stop mentioning it.
I'm sure he's listened to our fucking podcast, right?
I want to say, getting back to the hats, that this molecule hat.
Molecule
it's
hat.
Time. This is the first of a funny hat, and there are two funny hats in the episode. I think this writer has a little note card up that says, funny hats!
Kids will love it.
The upcoming hat's one for the books, though, man, I gotta say. But,
yeah, like, I'm impressed. I couldn't think of a funny name for any of these hats, but they're there. They're hats.
They're out and floating in the ether. So everyone gets their grades from Super Mario. And Zach's grade is not specified, but it's clear that it is a shitty grade.
Yeah. Whereas, well, I was surprised by Mertz's shitting on Slater's B-. That's not, like, terrible. It's like...
Slater's content to have a B-.
Yeah, I know, but then Mertz is like, if people in NASA had a B-, we'd, what, crash the moon?
Yeah, the shuttle wouldn't have made it past Cleveland or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you're a fucking high school science teacher.
But he's a doctor, though, so he apparently has his PhD and ended up teaching high school.
Well, that's even worse.
Hey, let's not alienate a large section of our audience here, guys.
PhD science teachers?
Just over-educated individuals.
Yeah, that's who listens to this. And also who makes it. Well, so then Kelly got the fucking, what is implied is that she didn't get anything right on the entire test. If it was possible to give her worse than an F, then she would have gotten that.
Yeah, the teacher says he would have given her an M if that was possible.
Yep.
See, this is like Saved by the Bell flipping stereotypes on its end and making the pretty girl bad at science.
I know, I didn't see that coming. It was a real... The real
mind blowing, I tell you.
Yeah, I got more to say about that coming up, but so
I just love how like Mertz is having this discussion with Kelly, like in front of the whole class, and just his whole like, here's your grade, everyone, and I'm gonna give you commentary on it. Like, fucking keep it to yourself.
Well, the other teacher would just post their grades on the wall.
Well, that's true.
So all
the
teachers
seems to be very open about the grades and what everyone gets and. And, well, see, what I noticed, I actually watched this scene twice because, you know, I had to break it down. He never actually tells the other class what they got. It's just the students volunteer the information.
Oh. Well, the other students, who cares what they got?
Yeah, we all, I mean, the Golden Six, we hear their grades. The
But I'm saying Slater gets his test. And did you notice that they're like giant tests, too? Like, what kind of test is he?
It's like a packet.
Yeah, I know. It was like a giant, it was like an SAT test for this class. And you're like, let's pare it down a bit. You're just high school science. But like Slater would get it, and then he announced his grade to the class. He's like, mm-hmm. B minus, this is pretty good. And if you notice, Zach does not say what his grade is.
Mm-hmm. He's discreet.
Well, there's no such thing as privacy in Bayside. I think for the most part, they put the Golden Six's grades in everybody's lockers. They just open it up and staple them right in.
Everyone's constantly trying to compete with one of the Golden Six.
I bet you, all the tests are graded on the curve, and nobody can be better than any of the Golden Six.
Yeah.
You can't be more handsome than Zach or Slater. Their handsome grades are A++++.
And then Screech gets an M for handsomeness. I bet that Belding sings on the intercom what their grades are every morning. So, eyes on the prize here, guys. So,
All right.
Kelly got a shitty grade. There's a test this Friday that's going to determine, it's like half your grade for the whole class. And Kelly's like, fuck, I can't go to that George Michael concert if I don't get a good grade. And so, Zach, this is...
Has anybody ever taken a test where it's half your grade?
Yeah.
You have?
Yep.
Yeah,
all right, thanks for shitting on my point,
yeah,
Austin.
Yeah, say by the bell wins that time. You're just nitpicking there, because that happened. I don't know if it's the end of the semester or what, but there's a really important final happening on Friday. So, this is one of those great moments where Zach appears to be helpful, but really it's only for himself. Where he's like, Kelly needs to do well on this test so she can take me to the George Michael concert.
Yeah, Kelly's very distraught over this whole I'm failing science. And Zach really doesn't give a fuck until he realizes it means he can't take her on a date.
That's all he cares about. So, this is great too. I love the logic of this too. Is that, so then he's like, Screech, you have to help Kelly. And he's like, I don't know about that. And then he's like, you want to fuck Lisa, right? Well, and Lisa and Kelly are friends. And basically just saying Lisa's name is basically what convinces Screech to help Kelly. He's basically just like, Zach's basically just like, Lisa. And he's like, oh yeah, that's right, Lisa. So then he helps Kelly, which is, I don't know.
It's dubious logic at best.
Well, what's weird to me about it is, yeah, we understand Screech is into Lisa, but... You think he's kind of, like, who's not into Kelly, I guess? Like, does he have, like, zero?
He's really into Lisa.
Guys, this is a scene where he says something else that he's really into. First, and this is, for me, the standout part of the episode, and it relates to some things coming up.
Does it involve an alien life form?
Yeah, it definitely does. It starts with a hive mind, and it goes to Screech's ant fetish. When Zach wants Screech to help him with Kelly, Screech is like, no, I can't because it's mating season for ants and I'm going to be an uncle.
Mm-hmm.
So what that says is that Screech has married into the ant kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And marrying into the ants, you can imagine that yourself. I don't want to say how I think he could marry an ant, but Screech has an insect fetish.
All right.
That's all I
want to
say.
I feel like insects become kind of Screech's thing.
Yeah.
Maybe in more ways than one is what
Carol meant. He loves bugs.
There's a callback to it at the end of the episode. I'll wait for it. But Screech is really into the hive mind.
I'm going to ask this here. There are many points where you could ask this throughout the series. But I'm going to do it here. Because it's mentioned so many times on this series. What is the insect rodeo? Because that seems to be whenever a nerd wants to do something, that seems to always be the thing they want to do.
It's like someone came up with an idea of what's something incredibly geeky. Oh, something with bugs, an insect rodeo, and then just stopped. And no writer ever came up with anything better.
Obviously, an insect rodeo is when you take a larger insect like a cockroach or even an ant, and then you have a flea try to ride it. So let's just try to keep up here.
Is that what I do?
I think it might be the process of marrying into the ant colony. However you want to let that go down in your mind.
That's how they wrangle them.
The show is so weird, and this part is so fucked up that I think it's like... And everybody would watch it and think it's normal. You know, like, this is the most normal show you can watch. And it's like a Trojan horse of normcore. But it's insane. This shit is batshit.
I always just assumed it was like a, you know, like they lassoed the insects or something. That there was lassoing involved.
Yeah, like hog tying an insect somehow.
Something. I don't know. What the... I don't know. Okay, so...
I'm just picturing, like, normal rodeo things, but with insects, but that doesn't really work.
It becomes abnormal, yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to think it's a little abnormal. So, then we're about to see a bunch of shit we've never seen before. Because we've never seen Screech's room before, right?
Correct.
Which right, is, and this is very exciting, yeah.
Well, and so, I have to say, this is the best job they've done of making it not look like the same set that's everyone else's room.
Yeah. I thought so too. Like, you had to work pretty hard and kind of look for it to see that it was the usual room set. They did a pretty good job of dressing it up.
Well, and it also sort of, like, says the most about the character. Like, it seemed like someone actually really cared about. Because, you know, Zach's room is like a fucking RoboCop poster, and Jesse's room has like a Save the Whales poster or whatever. But Screech's room is, like, very distinct, actually. It has a lot of very dated science stuff, like the rounded glass thing that you touch it and it makes the static go to your finger. And like,
how is that
a lightning ball? When I eBay for those, I call it a lightning ball.
Yeah, just a lot of stuff that I remember from that era being like science stuff.
It also has that computer sign. Did you guys see it? It says like Computers Lane and it's in an old font, like a neon sign.
Weird.
Pretty cool.
I totally missed that.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
Oh, and it has a sentient robot.
Well, and then, what's really important is that this is the first appearance of Kevin the Robot, which is a big deal.
They came out with Saved by the Bell, the new class, and I'm kind of confused why they didn't just come out with Saved by the Bell, Kevin.
Yeah, well, does Kevin ever appear in the new class?
No. I'm saying they should just have spun out a new show called Kevin.
Let's back up here for a second, David. Do you know that Kevin doesn't appear in the new class, or are you just assuming he doesn't appear in the new class?
Why are you busting my balls, Austin?
I'm just saying, let's not give anyone false impressions that any of us have watched the new class.
It's true. It's really funny, because we're all way too dead. We've all even watched the college years.
Except yeah, it stops the college years.
All of y'all have watched The College Years.
Yeah, all of us but Carol.
I'm doing this mostly for the show. I caught the series, Catch as Catch Can.
Us three guys who wear glasses have
the
all...
The patriarchy.
Us three sad men have watched every episode of the show a lot of times and The College Years.
Frankly, forget the new class. But as soon as they stumbled on the idea of Kevin, the sentient robot... They should have just completely retooled the show from this point forward and made it like The Adventures of Kevin and His Human Sidekicks.
Well, and how many times do you see Kevin? I think only two or three times.
Yeah, I think that's it. I can think of one other episode offhand.
Yeah, he gives Screech a black eye in the beauty contest.
Beauty pageant, and that's about all.
Yeah.
I can think of. But why does he have a slinky for a neck is my question.
Well, there's a lot of questions
about
Kevin.
When I saw Kevin appear... I thought that he was pretty much gunning to replace the Max. I can already tell that that's a character. The character, the Max, not the setting, the Max. But that's a character that they're willing to cut, and he's drifting. And we'll get there. But immediately, Kevin looked like his new computer replacement to me as the Joshy side character.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
If Kevin just became, like, the Mater D at the Max.
And did shitty magic. Beep, boop, bleep, bloop. Confetti.
Well, it's pretty amazing. I mean, this is one of those things. It's done real low-key. They really just slip it in there. But Screech built an intelligent robot.
Yeah, let's not gloss over that. He created artificial intelligence.
He did.
Well, this thing knows what it's talking about. And it wants Kelly, which, obviously, it's artificially, or is intelligent.
It's genuinely intelligent.
I I feel like they threw that part in there to make you feel really sure about the robot's heterosexuality.
Oh, that Screech
isn't at home banging his robot all the time.
Screech's not
just
fucking
his
robot.
Yeah, but I'm still not convinced that's not what's happening.
No, yeah. It's a little too much, right?
They're are you accusing Screech of being a robosexual?
And an insect guy, too.
They probably have, like, circle jerks.
I'm sure
I think
that
would hurt
least,
with like the robot hand. That
at the very least, the robot should be in charge of going to get lotion and coming back
yeah.
with tissues.
They don't jerk each other off. They sit next to each other.
And, all right. You say so.
That's how Ryan does it with his robot.
Yeah. What? How do you guys jerk off with your robots?
It has batteries.
We can be open. We can talk about these things, you guys.
This is a safe place.
You guys are already. I mean, we're really saved by the bell together. Like, what do you got to be ashamed of? What's more shameful than this?
So what kind of attachments do you have, Carolyn?
Does that mean I gave up all my dignity when I started this series? Is that your argument?
Yeah. Well, I mean, probably before. But definitely after. Be real with. That's what I'm saying. Is let's be real with each other. That we jerk off with robots, and we'll just be open. That we none of us are proud people. Look at who we are. Just look at ourselves.
Yeah, I jerked off with Rob the NES robot.
Yeah, he was your first.
But Teddy Ruxpin was his first.
So anyway,
we don't talk about Teddy Ruxpin.
Jerking off with the Tamagotchi. That's how I do it.
Teddy ruptured skin. So then they do sort of a fake out with Kevin where he kind of creeps up on Kelly as she comes into the room. That was kind of interesting. It's an interesting introduction to Kevin.
It was really sexual. He was kind of like hooting at her and veering at her and going bleep, bleep, bleep. Like he was into it.
Yeah.
Creeping up behind her, which isn't, you know... Women don't tend to like that.
Yeah, so then Kelly comes over for some...
Wait. You say women don't tend to like that, but what if it's from a robot? That kind of changes things, right?
That turns into, like, a sci-fi book cover.
Wait.
He's about to rape a lady.
Wait.
And you're kind of turned on by this, right?
You might be.
So wait, Carol. Wait, I need to ask you something, then. As you're a woman...
Yeah, if you round up, I totally am.
So if I go to the bar... and I have robot arm motions, and I go up behind a woman, and I go bleep, bleep, bloop.
You're gonna get maced.
You're saying that's not... You're saying I should stop doing that.
You're gonna get tased.
You're saying that's why that hasn't been working.
You should stop doing that.
But what you're saying is that it's not me, it's the approach.
I think it is you.
It's me? It's not... Oh, all right, let's move on. So... Oh, God. Why are we doing this, you guys? Okay, so... Then, in order to help Kelly learn science, Screech has to make it as dumb as possible. So he gets a bunch of Barbie dolls. I don't know where from.
That part's weird. He should not have that many dolls. He has, like, 20 Barbies, and they're all dressed like cheerleaders.
Yep, 20 Barbies.
No, I think they indicated that he had bought these Barbie dolls just for this demonstration.
Well, that's...
Yeah, my comment throughout this whole episode was it's a good thing that Screech apparently has, like, a whole fucking prop department at his disposal to make all of his various tutoring devices for Kelly.
Yeah, but... His tutoring devices are lame. I'll put it that way. I mean, first of all, how hard is it to figure out what fusion and fission is? At its core, it's like the atoms come together and the atoms come apart. Do you really need a visual aid for that? All you need to remember is which is which, and the visual aid doesn't help you with that.
All
you
right,
need a mnemonic
fucking,
device.
All right, Dr. Science over here. With your fucking expertise.
Yeah, but you know what? Mnemonic devices don't look good on TV.
It's true.
The way that, like, a pyramid of Barbie dolls looks good, or exploding popcorn in a blender.
But yeah, we'll get to that. I don't think Screech is as good as teachers they're making him out to be. I'll put it that way.
Well, the point, though, is that he appeals to how dumb and vain Kelly is.
Yeah.
And
I'm just thinking of a way that Screech could, like, use his dick as a science demonstration. If he were human and interested in Kelly Kapowski, right, that would be the smooth segue. And I think one possible lesson would be to teach water displacement.
This is getting awful.
Are you saying he's measuring the mass of his dick?
Yeah, you get a beaker and fill it with water, and however much you displace, that is also the most accurate measuring method. I like science, too.
Where's Ryan going? Come
back. He's going to check his dick.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just dipping. I was just doing some dipping.
All right, guys. I think we all need to dip and then compare.
So we're going to do it? We're going to have a three-man dipping competition? I guess we've done 10 episodes. In honor of 10 episodes?
Yeah, so Screech has... he apparently has a bedtime because there reaches a time when the hot cheerleader in his room has to leave because he has to go to bed now.
It's 9 p.m.
Which seems ridiculously early.
He's in 10th grade.
But at the same time, it struck me as, like, if this was, like, Slater or Zach being like, oh, it's my bedtime, you'd be like, that's dumb. They're teenagers. They wouldn't have a bedtime, and certainly not one that early. But because Screech still looks so young, you're just kind of like, oh, yeah, I guess he would have a bedtime.
It's weird.
The thing I found interesting was Screech was very normal around Kelly. I guess that's the best way to put it. Like, he's always fucking up around Lisa, but around Kelly, he's doing well.
Well, he's in his element.
I wonder if it's, like, a Kelly so far out of his league that it's tougher even for him to even conceptualize that he has a chance, so it just takes all the pressure off of him.
I think
yeah, that's a good point.
Well, he's not trying to bang Kelly, and also he's teaching science, so he's like,
yeah,
gets to be good at something, you know?
So he's in his element as well.
Yeah, that's what I said.
His bedtime is structured around ALF.
Mm-hmm.
He can go to bed after ALF, which I think ALF-based time is very streamlined for science.
Yeah, I think he makes a lot of ALF-based life decisions.
Yeah, well, this is like his third ALF reference in the series.
And speaking of ALF, this is the part where he says something to Kelly like, I guess so, if you're only from this planet. This is where Screech outs himself as an extraterrestrial. That's why he likes ALF so much.
Because he relates.
It's autobiographical.
So I really like their awkward goodbye handshake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where it's not really clear what they're going to do. They're kind of like,
It's like, there's a little sexual tension there.
Yeah, and then they shake hands, but it means so much more.
I also like how Screech sees her out of his room, but doesn't bother to, like, take her out of the house.
Well, there is no. I mean, it's just a big wooden stage.
Yes. In the set, yes, I'm sure there's no rest of the house. I'm just...
He was like, you leave the room, and then I'll rearrange all the stuff, and then you can come back, because then it's your room. So then we cut to the Max, and Kelly just has a big rager for Screech now.
Yeah, she's got a lady boner for him.
Yeah, and I really like this, because Lisa and Jesse are noticing that she's showing symptoms of love, and one of the love symptoms is a mismatched wardrobe. And I was like, I guess everyone at Bayside is in love all the time, then. And it would explain, like, Zach and Slater's outfits from the beginning of the episode.
A lot of pheromones going around. And Lisa's outfit, when she says that smack talk, is a denim vest with boob fringe. It's, like, special under the boob fringe.
Yeah.
So just saying is maybe Lisa shouldn't throw stones?
Yeah, glass houses.
So, and then Lisa, I gotta give her credit here, does a really good spit take.
That was a pretty classic spit take.
Yeah, when she finds out that Kelly's into Screech. That was a good one. And then, any other words on Jesse and Lisa's reaction to Kelly being into Screech?
I don't think on this.
Well, I want to ask, too, because the thing that's slightly ambiguous about this is we know that Kelly likes Screech now, but is it, like, a romantic thing, or does she just, like, think he's neat? Like,
well, they were slurping that milkshake together pretty romantically.
Well, that's later. That's at the end of the scene.
It's in a moment, yeah.
Yeah, she leaves the booth to go sit with Screech, so it's like 2 minutes later.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I wanted to talk about how Zach interrogates Screech about the time he spent with Kelly.
Yeah.
How there's apparently a counter at the Max now that they go up to order food.
Is that what he's doing? Is he ordering food, or is he just, like, standing there for a minute?
No, he's ordering food. Like, there's a brief moment when he's, like, he's trying to push Zach off, and Zach's, you know, interrogating him, and he's like, no, she didn't say anything to you. I'll take a hot dog.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I totally didn't get that either. I think Austin was hallucinating.
Yeah.
I am not hallucinating.
I think you're crazy. I think you went crazy. No one saw that but
Zach, so yeah, Zach's interrogating Screech.
He really wants to know what happened, and there's not much to speak of.
And yet he can't quite wrap his head around the idea that Kelly didn't talk about him nonstop.
Yeah, well, he just wants, he's just grasping at straws. He just wants anything, you know?
Speaking of grasping at straws,
uh-huh.
This is the time for the Max's appearance at the Max.
Yeah, he brings that magic back, finally.
He brings the most low-rent magic trick to date. He has one straw up his sleeve so that Kelly and Screech can, like, Archie the root beer together. They can, like, touch foreheads and moon at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just want to say that I think the Max is, what, this, don't tell me, but doesn't he, like, ghost away at the end of the first season? And it really just, it's very clear right now that he's going to.
Yeah, he's fading fast. I mean, making the straw appear is just barely one step up from the whole, like, oh, you have a quarter in your ear trick.
But what about, remember his plant where you, like, glued ears on it? Or what the shit with that?
the chomping teeth.
Yeah.
You see, we're all wondering, looking at this first season, like, the order of episodes seem all out of whack. But when you really watch him, they just decided to put the greatest magic trick to start and just went one step below it for every episode.
Well,
They're
just,
like,
ran out of stuff real fast.
Yeah, so they decided to put Max on a slow decline through the entire season, and we're like, we'll just keep showing lamer and lamer tricks.
But they needed a straw, so it's better than the plant, the chattering teeth plant, which had no practical purposes. The straw, it's like, that's what you needed. Like, if he was like, hey, here's a hamburger, and here's a fork, and you'd be like, oh, thanks,
yeah.
You know.
It is better, it's mad.
It shows less effort. He didn't, like, go home last night with a glue gun and do some crafts. He didn't have any forethought. He's just more resigned to being a restaurateur now, and I find that kind of sad.
But he's doing his job.
Which is what is sad. He should be doing that.
Have you ever gone to a restaurant and they just didn't have any straws? It sucked. Like, if you go to the Ren Fair and you're like, I'll have a Coke, and they're like, here's your Coke. And then you're like, do you have a straw? And they're like, forsooth, ye old straw was not invented yet. And you're like, I bought a fucking Coke from you, asshole. Give me a fucking straw. And then where's Max with his magic trick then? Where's a wizard to give you a straw?
I value magic over straws.
That's why
I
only went...
That's where we differ.
That's why I only went to the Ren Fair one time. Well, that's one of many reasons why I only went to the Ren Fair one time. So then, yeah, so Screech and Kelly are having a real romantic time drinking a shake together. And Zach decides to enlist Slater for this because shit's getting serious.
Yeah, first Slater doesn't believe Zach.
Right.
This is possible.
But then they refer to each other as Screechy and Kel-Kel.
Brilliant nicknames, you guys.
Really burned a lot of brain cells on this.
Yep.
Which is a real, is a real sign of the apocalypse. And so, Oh, I like that.
Rye bread, ostentatious, and bits and pieces.
Yeah, Carol, when you gave us all nicknames, I didn't realize what you were declaring. Well, and I remember when I first got to know Carol, which was like 10 years ago. Do you remember this, Carol? I kept meeting you and I couldn't remember your name. And then it was like...
I couldn't remember your name.
Well, I think we couldn't... Okay, well, it can go both ways. It's okay. But remember that I called you Sterile Carol for a long time? Just so I can remember your name.
I thought I made up that name for myself. No, I don't remember.
No, I think you did. I think you made it up, but it helped me remember your name. That's all. So Slater's like, hey, Kelly, let's go have a pizza. And Slater and Kelly's like, no, me and Screechy are going to eat dinner and study science. And that's when Slater knows that shit's getting serious and they have to really handle their business here.
Go to the restroom then.
I think this is before... No, this is before that. So then they go...
Yeah, the next scene is very George Michael-esque.
Well, so then we're... No, because then we're in the... We go to Screech's room again, And Screech demonstrates radiation by putting popcorn in a blender. And
which doesn't make much sense.
No, but
I thought that. I'm like, I'm no scientist, but I don't think this really follows.
But so then,
I'm not sure how this is helping her understanding of radioactivity. He's like, this is my finger, and it's bombarding this blender.
So then Zach and Slater both try to cock block this.
Yeah, he could use his finger to bombard anything.
I'm glad somebody finally picked up on where I was headed with that.
So Zach and Slater get the boot.
Yeah, Zach shows up with the bike he borrowed from Screech in kindergarten.
Which is a pretty good
Slater
move.
Slater just kind of up.
Yeah, Screech really shows some backbone that he usually doesn't.
Would have been nice if he'd shown this much backbone in other instances in the series.
Well, he's never had a girl in his room before.
So it's making him flush with testosterone. He's protecting his territory.
Well, I think he's like, shit, you guys, come on, you know. You guys have other opportunities. This is it for me. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
Screech never expresses any interest in Kelly. And this is a series that when the people want to bone Kelly, they're like, hey, I will impregnate you on the counter at the Max right now. Let's go.
Well, and I think, too, if Kelly shows interest in you, you're gonna go for it. So then, the guys watch through the window as Kelly is hugging and kissing Screech out of gratitude for his explanation of radioactivity. And they're like, holy shit.
What a bunch of kinky voyeurs.
I know. And then they're definitely jerking each other off.
It used to be a Saved by the Bell thing where anybody can peer through the anybody's window.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention all the overhearing and wiretapping.
There's a lot of
privacy does not exist in the Saved by the Bell universe.
Right. The lockers don't lock.
Grades are everyone's business. Windows are seen through at all times.
They do a lot of group J.O. sessions.
So Zach and Slater.
And right before Kelly kisses Screech, she calls him the world's best teacher. Mm-hmm. And that kind of harkens back to the substitute episode when she was hot for the mullet romance teacher.
Oh, that's right. Kelly's got a thing for teachers.
Yeah,
she does. It makes her sploosh.
I completely forgot about
that
episode.
She ends up dating an older guy, and then in college she dates a professor.
Yep.
Really? It keeps going?
Totally keeps going.
It's because her dad never paid enough attention to her. Because she's got like 8 siblings or something. So,
that's right, she's got too many other kids.
Yeah. So, Zach and Slater are so dismayed by this thing that they see through the window that they have to go home in silence and then come back together in the bathroom the next day to continue their conversation.
Yeah, they couldn't discuss it then.
No.
Zach and Slater like to meet in the bathroom because they want to be really appropriate with the George Michael theme.
Oh,
they
want
to go in there and really practice bathroom stall communication.
Well, and they're gonna.
I would say that Zach is the master of it. Oh, Screech has shown aptitude.
They're gonna get super George Michael appropriate by the end of this episode, but. So then.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, so then they're talking about like, damn, this sucks that Kelly and Screech are getting together, and they're like, we better make sure no one finds out. And then they leave, and then a bunch of nerds are hiding in the stalls. I don't know why. Why?
Yeah, they're listening to the gossip come down the pipeline.
But were they just hanging out in there?
They're
like,
practicing their shitting.
They want to do some competitive shitting?
They're doing shitter chatter.
Shitter chatter. Okay. That makes sense. So then I got to actually say that this is a pretty good bit here. So the nerds are like, Kelly and Screech? Yeah. Because the nerds are like, Kelly and Screech? And then all the word spreads through all the extras that you see in the hallway all the time, who are fairly consistent on this series. And the scale keeps rising. And then George Bush is very interested in Kelly and Screech. And then Gorbachev. And then the yeah, well, and I have something to say about that.
Which is what?
So I went with Amy Miller, who was our previous guest, the first time I ever went to New York, where I am right now as we record this. She came with me, and there was a place where you could make a shirt, and it was like 10 cents a letter or something, and you could make it say whatever you wanted on a shirt. And she and I agreed that I would make a shirt that said, Kelinsky Drava Screechnik. which is what Gorbachev says when, and then I wore it to fucking San Diego Comic Con. And then I wore it like three more times, and then I was like, what is this stupid shirt I paid $19 for? And then I think I lost it or something.
That cost $19?
Yeah, because that's a lot of letters. And it's New York.
It adds up, yeah.
Yeah, those letters, because that's like...
Do you still have the shirt, Ryan?
No, that shit's long gone. I don't know what happened to it.
Boo.
So anyway, and then they cut... So then, after the whole world knows about... Literally the whole world finds out about...
It goes from Gorbachev to all the way up into space. The last cut of this gag is a satellite, and it's like, Screech and Kelly!
So that means probably Alf finds out.
Yeah, that tells Alf, and that's probably communicating back to Screech's home planet, wherever it is. Mm-hmm. And it seems like this is a conspiracy that goes all the way up. First, Screech was doing ants, and the aliens were like, you can't actually breathe that way, bro.
Okay.
So they did some mind control on Kelly, and it, two governments, George Bush Sr. and then Gorbachev, were like, yeah, Screech and Kelly are gonna bang. All systems are go.
Well, and we could also say that this...
So it was very spooky.
This probably is what ended the Cold War.
Well, they figured if somebody like Kelly and somebody like Screech could get together, then why not democracy and communism?
Yeah, I like the way you guys think. So then another thing that's really bizarre is that when we cut to the Max, Lisa feels threatened by this situation.
That was very odd.
I didn't really see that coming.
Well, that's a little thing called cat string theory. Because Screech isn't interested in Lisa right now, Lisa is more interested in Screech. Mm-hmm. It's just the interplay of, you know, simple minds and romance.
Yeah, it's interesting. She doesn't want Screech until, yeah, she can't have him anymore.
Yeah.
Carol's just said so. You can just edit that part out.
Bitches be straight tripping, yo.
But then...
Keep that.
But see, I find it interesting that, well, we're going to get to the pink-bordered fantasy first, right?
Yeah, that's coming up. But, well, okay, but before that, this is important. Screech shows up at the Max, and he gets fucking mobbed.
This is all interesting. Like, I almost want to call bullshit on it, except I think this is kind of high school female politics, but I'm not a female and wasn't in high school, but...
You were never in high school?
It's like none of them cared about Screech until, like, the most popular girl did, and now suddenly they like...
Well, that's the whole premise.
It's not even that it's acceptable to like a nerd anymore. They now feel like they have to like a nerd.
Well, did you ever, like, bang a girl and then all her friends started trying to bang you?
No. How is it?
It's pretty great.
Sounds terrible.
It's pretty cool when that happens.
No, what I thought was kind of crazy was this whole... All the girls are liking nerds now, and nerds are cool and whatnot. It's sort of eerily prescient of what it's like now, and with like geek chic and
yeah,
nerds are a lot cooler now than they used to be.
No, it's true. I mean, obviously,
yeah, but not the kind of nerds they are.
Yeah, no, not the stereotypical nerds with like the pocket protectors and the broken glasses and all that. But
you know, the kind of nerds that we are.
Exactly, the cool nerds.
The Saved by the Bell reviewer nerds who have podcasts.
I feel like I'm really carrying the cool for everybody here.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself that.
Job of it, Carol.
Is this a unique feeling?
No.
So yeah, and then they're like, the explanation, what is this, Lisa and Jesse's explanation is that Kelly's the popular girl and she's into nerds now, so it's the thing. And they're like, Kelly could wear a fucking pizza on her head and that would be the thing. Which leads us to our pink-rimmed fantasy.
Has there been an episode yet without a pink-rimmed fantasy?
Ooh, I don't...
No? Was the first one?
I don't think
so. Dancing to the Max, did that... Yeah, no, it had Jesse freaking out about getting taller.
Yeah.
Oh, that was that one, yeah.
Yeah, I think that probably there's always been one. They're great. They're always really good.
That's crazy.
They're always...
Yeah, anyway, continue with the pink-rimmed fantasy.
Okay, so...
Are you saying the entire show should just be pink-rimmed?
It kind of is a big pink ring fantasy.
That's the corn sequel.
So then we see, Zach and Slater are rocking in this fantasy. They come into the Max and they're rocking the nerd look pretty hard. Okay, my question is, Zach's got like a beanie and Slater's got like a tie-dye shirt with suspenders. So, Carol, you're probably the best person to ask. Is that a better or worse look than what they were wearing at the beginning of the episode?
I would say, as far as, like, yeah, right now, trying to be cool, they're really better off in the tie-dye romper for Portland and, like, walking down Hawthorne and, like, doing footbag. That's the now look, but I tilt a little festival wear.
What about for the time,
too? For the time then?
Yeah.
The answer is that nothing in 1994 mattered. So there's no relevant time to worry about in fashion.
The catch 22.
You just watch the show and it's all runs through you like diarrhea fashion.
Diarrhea fashion. That's a good term for what they're wearing on this show.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was nice that Dustin Diamond finally got a costume that was non-degrading.
Yeah, wait, we're not there yet, though, so hold on. One thing that was really weird, okay, one is that Slater and Zach are going after Kelly and Lisa now, and the thing that they do to impress them is this thing with their cheeks, which is like the jerk-off noise.
It was also Ralph Wiggum's special talent in the Lisa Substitute episode of The Simpsons.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, how about you, Ralph? Wonderful.
So they're stealing from The Simpsons. Yeah, that's right.
Well, technically, I guess The Simpsons is probably stealing from Saved by the Bell at this point.
Most likely.
I think Simpsons was first on that. Substitute was the really early Simpsons.
Well,
right?
It was season two, but...
It's right around the same time.
I guess we can look this up.
Oh, we are.
Yeah.
We're going to settle this. Anyway, all the girls are into nerds, and then Kelly comes in with her pizza hat, which is so great.
It's a really avant-garde look, and it is something I would wear.
Exactly.
I would wear the hat. It's beautiful.
It's impractical. If you had a pizza hat, I would like it.
I have pizza earrings.
I think it's supposed to be a literal pizza. Would you actually wear a cooked pizza on your head, Carolyn?
If it was for, like, a video, I wouldn't try to walk around a party like that, though.
But that's what I'm saying, is that if she had
a... don't walk around me with either a literal pizza or a fake pizza, because I'd probably eat it either way.
If Carol had a pizza on her head as a hat, I would follow her anywhere.
I'm not exactly at the point where I need enough more dudes to, like, wear food. I get enough strays as it is.
Well, we're just...
Bati Dab is popular.
We're just...
Someone's got to be cool in this club.
We're just friends. I just want to...
This episode...
I just want to...
This episode first
hat.
Aired in 1989, and Lisa's Substitute aired in 1991.
Ooh, take
Damn.
That.
All right.
I want to talk more...
But I think a pizza hat for a dude would be a really good... If you need to score babes, the dude should wear the hat and be, like, at the bar at 1 a.m., and then he's the most popular guy in the world.
Well, one is, I'll keep that in mind, but two is, Carol, I want to talk about how selfish you are.
All right.
That you won't wear a pizza. That you won't wear a pizza as a hat so that I can eat your pizza hat when we hang out sometimes.
You would eat the whole pizza in one... You eat a lot.
Yeah, but I could take my time.
And a placenta.
I could take my time and eat your pizza hat. That would be such a good party, is all I'm saying.
That would be performance art. I'll do it for performance art.
Okay, I'm playing the fucking pony man in your fucking play. At least you can do is...
Mr. Jabbers!
Mr. Jabbers!
The least you could do is wear a pizza for a hat.
I'd be part of performance art if it meant I ate pizza.
So then Screech comes in... So then Screech comes in. He's
and
got,
once Dustin Diamond gets to wear a non-degrading costume.
Yeah, he's got plastic hair.
Yeah, at first I thought it was like, you know, his hair is usually big, and it was like they gave him a reverse perm.
Yeah.
But then when you zoom in on him, it's just like a Lego man's plastic wig that they just popped right over his Jufro.
I had the same reaction.
I think they dust that one off later when he does his Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous fantasy sequence. I forget what episode it is, but he does like a... He's Robin Screech instead of Robin Leach, and he has that same plastic helmet head on.
Yeah,
like
I mean...
the Tina Turner hair.
It's not like...
Yeah, they just dust these things off out of the prop room.
It's not like they're going to use it only one time, yeah. They paid like
$6. Upwards of $5 for that prop.
Exactly. Okay, so then... Jesus Christ, is this still going on? Okay. So this is interesting. So then they're like, Zach and Slater are, is this, do they have this fantasy in the bathroom?
Well, we should say that, so when Screech comes out, the whole thing is Kelly's no longer into nerds, and then she's now into a different type of man. And he's Bond, Screech Bond.
Right.
And you can't keep a straight face when he says that.
Yeah.
Because the writing is that good.
Because mm-hmm. It's so hilarious that he's... the whole thing seems like a non sequitur to me, but whatever.
It is.
Not that the show ever goes down that path.
Yeah. So then, speaking of non sequiturs, then Zach's like, let's make the most nonsense fucking scheme imaginable. Like, it's more imaginative than a Pizza Hat, this fucking scheme, how ridiculous and esoteric it is.
And Slater's like, okay, but so long as it's a fake marriage, that's yeah. what I'm into, madcap schemes.
And so, yeah, what I like is that they say in order to break them up, they need an even bigger nerd, and which means Belding, which is pretty great. So then they decide yeah. to convince Belding that Kelly and Screech are getting married.
Which just seems like a random...
In which... To me, would mean, in any ordinary world, that doesn't mean anything, because the principal would be like, fuck, that's their business. But, to be fair, this is Mr. Belding, and he can't not stick his nose into everyone's business.
Yeah, he must know everything. I mean, he says something specifically, I didn't write it down, but he's basically like, I need to be all up in everyone's business all the time.
That is his job as a principal, apparently.
That and a lot of other stuff.
So I wonder if...
Yes, like, so how did they get Belding? They're, like, at the locker, and they just start rattling all these cans, and yeah. Belding has, like, a raccoon, and he's just like, I hear cans, I better go see if there's any chili left, or if someone's shitting bigger than me. That's how you call him. Well known.
I wonder if, my guess is that at Bayside, I think Bayside has really, they have a really good budget, and there's no administrative issues. Like, things must be real smooth sailing at Bayside for Belding to have this much free time. Because he seems to have no administrative duties whatsoever. His whole job seems yeah. to be to intervene in the lives of six kids.
I don't know if he does any of the regular principal stuff that you're supposed to do.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not totally clear on what that stuff is, but he doesn't seem
whatever
to do it.
Whatever it is, he's not doing it.
Yeah. So, so then they do one of those great bits. This was satisfying to me. Because they do one of those great bits where they're... he brings Screech into his office to counsel him, which is what he does in any given situation, is have a one-on-one counseling session with the student. And they do one of those bits where they're each talking about the thing and not understanding what the other one thinks.
Yes.
It's more oddly specific leading dialogue.
Right, but what was satisfying about it is that they finally... It gets cleared up.
Right.
I would note that, you know, he's very, very concerned about Screech and Kelly getting married, so he calls Screech into his office, but where's Kelly?
This is a marriage. He's talking to the man, who is the principal partner in this relationship.
The maker of decisions.
He would say so. Yeah, can Belding actually marry people? Is that part of his principle? I think he's also a preacher.
He's like a sea captain. He can marry anyone in his school.
Probably.
He can legally kill any student at any time.
With his bare hands.
No, I do. I like this dialogue exchange, Ryan. It's honestly... There's a line in here that's probably my all-time favorite Saved by the Bell line.
Austin, you can't
elope. Yeah, it's mine too, so which one of us are going to say it? But
say it together.
Well, before that, there's that, and there was during this whole misconception conversation, it becomes clear to Mr. Belding, at least in his way of thinking, that the parents are on board with this. And as soon as he hears that, there's nothing left for him to say but good luck. And frankly, he should understand that Screech isn't going to do better than Kelly anyway, so he should just let it happen.
Yeah, but what about Kelly? Okay, but what's the line of dialogue, Austin?
Wait, I want to say about the parents' part. So, like, the double entendre is that Screech has had Kelly over to his house every night,
mm-hmm.
and to me that reads banging.
Yeah.
And then Belding is like, do your parents know about this? And Screech is like, they're outside the door rooting us on. So what the viewer is to suppose is that the parents are rooting on their rooting.
Clever wordplay. To be fair, if my kid was dating Kelly Kapowski and doing her in my bedroom, I would be rooting him on as well.
And you would
you're a creepy dad.
You'd be looking through the keyhole.
No, I'm not saying that. I'd just be proud of my son.
You creepy
Send the
peeper.
Robot in to film it.
Maybe that's Kevin's whole point.
Yeah.
I think it's a part of yeah.
Kevin is the first webcam. So, Austin, what's
your
line?
Yeah.
David, you cantaloupe.
Who are you calling a cantaloupe, you melonhead?
Seriously, no fooling. Anytime I hear the word cantaloupe, in my mind, I rejoined her with, who are you calling a cantaloupe, you melonhead?
Wait, here, I want to try it one time.
I'll be with right. you.
Okay, Carol, you say it.
Okay. You cantaloupe.
Well, fuck you then.
I think
you missed the point of the joke there, Ryan.
Fuck
one.
You.
That was a pun.
Fuck you, Mr. Belding.
go do your principal job.
Yeah, why don't you do some fucking paperwork, you fucking no-account principal? Okay.
You should note, is this Mr. Belding's only scene in this episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
That one at the previous.
Sure, it almost feels like this whole part was just to give Mr. Belding a scene.
Yeah, probably. Now that you mention it, you're probably right. They're like, shit, we need Dennis Haskins to do something, so we'll have Zach come up with some bullshit scheme about marriage. And
because this scheme does not work at all. Let's be clear about this.
It's like, very short-lived.
Part of the scheme actually works out in the way that Slater and Zach were trying.
Well, no, it doesn't make sense, and it doesn't go anywhere, but it gives, Belding some screen time, and that's all that matters.
I know that I already said it, but it's worth saying twice because it's so amazing. They actually clarify what's happening in the scene. It becomes clear what they're both actually talking about and that they are having a misunderstanding. It just changed my outlook on life when that happened.
That just shows how pointless the scene was.
And how long you can expect to maintain a ruse of fake marriage when both of the wedding parties aren't in on it.
And when they're fucking 15 years old.
Speaking of bedtime, for Christ's sake, and he's supposed to be getting married? Come on.
How old are they here? They're freshmen?
They're 15. They're sophomores,
I believe.
Yeah, they're 15. Okay, so then, and then Slater and Zach are at the door, and they get in trouble.
Doing that thing that people only ever do in TV shows and movies, which is lean against the door at just the right angle so that when it opens, they fall through.
Yeah, when I listen in on people at the door, I make sure that the angle I'm at is as such that I won't fall when they open the door.
I like to do a crouch. You're really stable, and you can scuttle away for the most part. They're looking at eye level.
Well, and then you can just act like you drop your contact lens. Like, oh, I'm just looking on the floor for something that I dropped.
Yeah, I'm just sitting. I'm napping. Don't worry about it.
I'm partial to the cup against the door. I think that's what you really need to understand exactly what's going
on. Yeah, cup and crouch. Two C's of spying.
Cup and crouch.
I want to post a video online of Carolyn scuttling.
So then,
Google it.
So then they get their grades in the class, and Kelly gets an A on the test.
Yay!
I guess that popcorn equation really stuck with her.
Yeah, well, I heard
the finger was really bombarding that.
The test was all like Lisa Frank style images of science.
What?
So like My Little Pony based multiple choice questions and strawberry shortcake.
Science for girls.
Yes.
Don't ask me. I'm just a girl.
Yeah. So then, So then Zach and Slater are like, who are you taking to the fucking George Michael concert, for fuck's sake? And she wants to take Screech, which makes sense. It's fair.
I mean, their love is saving civilization at the moment, so why wouldn't she take him?
Yeah, but then here's a twist for you guys.
I bet you didn't see this coming.
Screech doesn't like George Michael. and then he's like, do you want to go to the Insect Expo? And she's like,
do you want to go to the Insect Expo? They have a petting zoo.
Yeah, which is gross because girls don't like that. And then she's like, let's play volleyball on the beach. And then he's like, I don't like to do that. And so then they realize that they've never exchanged two sentences about things they like to do before. and that maybe they're not compatible.
Fucking Screech! What the hell is his problem? That's my question. Go to the goddamn George Michael concert. Do you realize what I'd have done for a date with Kelly? I'd have ripped out my own left testicle and eaten it just to hold her hand. And he can't go to a fucking George Michael concert just because he doesn't like his music. And he's always about Lisa. He's like, I want Lisa this, I want Lisa that. What the hell does he think he has in common with Lisa?
Well, and like, how much shit...
Maybe Lisa hates George Michael, too.
Maybe. That's
does he fucking know this? He has zero in common with Lisa.
That's how he knows she's the one.
Yeah, what the fuck? Yeah, you can't get with Kelly, who's clearly hotter than Lisa. Lisa's an attractive woman.
I'm just
many
saying,
men
like...
men will be lucky with her. But when you have a chance at Kelly, you cut your own dick off if you need to.
I'm just
but
saying...
But for Screech, what you're saying about Kelly is how he feels about Lisa, and Kelly to him is how Lisa is to you.
I'm just gonna say, I had a girlfriend in high school, and I know every word of every song from Rent. And I wish I didn't. And I wish I didn't, but that's the price you gotta pay, man. That's all I'm saying. Screech needs to learn a lesson here. Sometimes you just gotta suck it up and go to a shitty fucking concert you don't want to go to.
My boyfriend does have to listen to so much Billy Joel.
That's what I'm
saying.
Yeah,
but that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think so, too. Thank you. I'll pass that along to him.
I saw
listen,
Cat.
I think Ryan's on. And Austin, all right.
Let's be clear here, David. I don't disagree with the principle of what you're saying. Nut up and go to the fucking George Michael concert. Kelly's hot. You're getting a date. You're Screech. Take what you can get. And what you can get is the hottest girl in school.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if he... in his mind, feels Lisa's an attractive woman. Maybe he finds her more attractive than Kelly. I think the majority of people, I mean, Kelly's the top, and Lisa's still a good one. But Kelly's no slouch either, and you're not getting Lisa, so nut up, go to the George Michael concert, and then maybe you can have some heavy petting afterwards.
I'm just saying that this exchange between them is sort of abrupt and not very fleshed out. You know, you'd think maybe the years that they knew each other...
The was like, shit, time's up, this episode's over, and we can't end this with Screech and Kelly together, because, like, that would fucking happen. So, okay, here it is, it's over. We'll always have science, the end.
We'll always have
I'm
science.
I'm not saying Screech and Kelly had to get together, like, Zach and Kelly, but it would have been interesting if they were, like, boyfriend and girlfriend for, like, 5 episodes or something.
Well, that's not gonna happen. I mean... But it's also, I also have to say, though, that this happening this way, like, through discussion and not a zany scheme is, I give him credit for that.
Screech is not interested in Lisa because Screech is interested in insects. Mm-hmm. He wants to go to the insect petting zoo. No, yep, and Screech he is interested in Lisa, and I don't know why. Let's let the viewers decide.
So then, okay, but I gotta say, this is definitely my favorite ending so far. It might be the best ending ever in the series. Again, things don't really work out for Zach, which is becoming a thing that I'm very interested in. I'm keeping a tally on that in my mind. But this is the thing. They didn't know what was going to happen in the future. But even still, this is incredible. So Kelly is too sad about breaking up with Screech to go to the George Michael concert. So she gives his tickets to Zach and Slater. And then this is the opposite of a gay panic joke. They agree to go on a date together to the George Michael concert, which is, and I want to say too that Carol and I watch RuPaul's Drag Race together every week.
Yeah.
And this scene is the gayest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, there is no way that these two young men going to a George Michael concert could be any gayer. It's like they are forced to get out of the closet by their community.
Well, wait.
Like, you guys need to go see George Michael and work this romance out.
Mm-hmm.
But you're including when Slater just grabbed Zach's tit like 5 episodes
yeah,
earlier.
Yeah, but Zach was dressed
when
as
he looks
a woman.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
This is two dudes going to a George Michael concert.
They're bonding over George Michael. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really glad that the romantic subtext plot between Slater and Zach is back and it's not subtext anymore.
It's really it's really blossoming. And
this might be a part of Saved by the Bell, perhaps.
No, it's true. Yeah. The gayness. Well, and they're really accepting it. It's really progressive. I like it.
Yeah. It might put kind of a whole new spin on, like, the Jesse Slater, Zach Kelly relationships. Like, are they really just being beards, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Kelly and Jesse, they're just fronts for Slater and Zach's true passions.
I think so.
So did you see how in this minute they did Zach as the girl character again? They're kind of like, I don't want to go out with you, Preppy. Well, George Michael, okay, I'll pick you up at 7, Preppy. And he's like, that sounds fine.
Only if you can have me home by 10.
I don't know if you guys saw it, but then they just totally 69 on the floor.
Oh, nice. That's good. It's good. I like it. I think it's good.
Yeah, they went out of frame, and the 69 wasn't
on. Yeah. They just heard the slurping noise from the previous Pink Rin Fantasy.
Yeah, the sound of that nerds like to make. Well, cool. So anyway, that's
our podcast has gone off the rails.
Yeah. So that's the end of the episode. I'm curious.
Yeah, so let's make it clear. This episode ended with Zach and Slater 69.
Yeah. I would like to know, Austin, what did you learn in this episode?
I learned that apparently Mr. Belding is a raccoon and is attracted to the sounds of clanging cans.
Carol, how about you?
I learned that we all jerk off with robots. And we can talk about it now.
We can talk about it. That's what's important, is that we talk about it. David, what did you learn?
I learned that a nerd can get the hot cheerleader without using sexual assault, which Revenge of the Nerds did not teach me.
And I learned that Kelly and Screech's relationship ended the Cold War, which was important. Okay, cool. Thank you for listening to this fucking train wreck of a podcast review that we made. I can only guarantee you that next week it will be even worse. next week we may have a very special guest. More on that. Stay tuned. If you would like to follow us on the internet, it's SBTB_reviewed at Twitter. You can see our musings. You can find me, Ryan Alexander Tanner, at ohyesverynice.com, or my Twitter handle is also ohyesverynice, O-H-Y-E-S, very nice. How about you, David?
You can find me at Dr. Bits on Twitter, and you can read Austin's and mine writing at therealgentlemanofleisure.com.
And Carol, how about you?
You can find me at carolynmain.com and at Twitter, and you can buy my joke book, 8-Bit Ground Zone, at bridgecitycomics.com.
And then I think we'll just skip Austin this week. So thanks a lot, everybody. No, I'm just kidding. All right, how about you, Austin?
If you want to, you can follow me on Twitter at Austin Gordon. You can read my writing along with David's at therealgentlemanofleisure.com. I also write for soundonsite.org. And now I've just started writing for capelesscrusader.org as well.
Cool. That's it for this week. If you'd like to email us at sbtbreviewed@gmail.com. We just may read your emails on the show. We'll be back next week with another rousing review. Until then, you can't elope. When I'm torrenting old recordings, internet, it sends a warning, and I